This is War Room Moments, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and most relevant people on the planet, hear their stories, and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. War Room Moments is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board. Here's your host, Jason Miller.
Hey, welcome to the War Room today. I've got a very special guest today. Good friend, more than a guest, a good friend, Dan Young. He is an amazing educator. He is a man that's trying to change the world. And aren't we all? And hopefully we all are trying to. But a man of one of the biggest hearts out there. And I'm just glad to have you on the show today. It's an honor to have you here, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate it, and it's always an honor to talk to you. You know, someone I look up to as a mentor and a friend. So thanks for inviting me on.
Yeah, man. Awesome stuff. Well, hey, just to get things started, because I suck at introducing people. I could introduce you easy, but I'm just going to stick with the script. But give the audience a little bit about who you are and what your superpower is.
Well, you know, I've spent about 20 years of my life in education. I formerly was the founding director of a program called Wharton Alt Finance at the Wharton School of Business at UPenn. Before that, I created a school's first doctoral program at Goldie Beacom College in Delaware. And before that, I was responsible for taking a doctoral program online at a school called Wilmington University. So I've been lucky in the sense that even when I was a W-2 employee full time, I was given the responsibility of creating things. Now, being out on my own as an entrepreneur, I do a lot of work as a fractional chief marketing officer with a couple of different firms because my PhD work was in buyer behavior in marketing, and then also working on a platform called Ready Speaker One, which is primarily a speaker training platform, primarily focused on TEDx speeches. And I'm just about to start up a program called Kairos Class, which is a focus on kind of galvanizing the efforts of women and people of color for wealth accumulation, and basically just a support network and a support community for that. So, you know, overall, I've always been kind of entrepreneurial. And I think what's interesting about that, kind of talking about my track record and my past, I came from a family where education was everything. Like, my dad went to Harvard, you know, full scholarship to Harvard. He was head of human resources at the largest bank in the state of Delaware. My grandfather went to Penn. He was the first Black principal to stay in the state of Delaware. So he had an amazing track record. And even his father was one of the first Black foremen on the Pennsylvania Railroad. And they actually sent him to Penn. As you can see, my family's revolved around Penn a lot, to learn Italian, to be in a position to help manage Italian immigrants who are coming over to the country. And so his responsibility was managing both the people of color and the Italian immigrants on the Pennsylvania Railroad. It's interesting because in entrepreneurship, it greatly worried my dad. Coming out of college, the first job I had was I was a financial advisor for what was then American Express Financial Advisors. Now it's Ameriprise. And back then, in the late 90s, you made $18,000 for the year and 40% commission. My dad thought that was like the dumbest choice of all time to do that, mainly because, you know, for God's sake, he was the head of human resources at the biggest bank in Delaware. He could have given me any job I wanted, but right. I knew that there was always this need to be different Every experience in my life has shown me I have a general dislike of authority.
No.
And you know, and I'm sure that's the first time you've ever heard that before. And I just always felt like, even in areas where I was a full-time W-2, I almost felt like there's always something I wanted to give that either I wasn't being asked to give or I wasn't
Right.
being given the opportunity to give. And so for me, it was way more about how can I get all of the juice out of the orange? How can I really make an impact at the level that I wanted to make an impact? And that is really what I think fueled my entrepreneurial journey. It part of it's based on my dad's job, and part of it is just based on the fact that I came from what was considered a successful family of color, in Delaware, lived down the suburbs. Like, we're the only black family for 5 miles. I know, because I know where the other family was. We'd like wave to them as I was going to the supermarket. And just in general, having this feeling like I don't belong, like I'm just unique in many
Sure,
ways. And
sure,
I think
sure.
that that permeated itself towards work, where I was just so used to being unique, so used to being one of one, that anytime I was put into a situation where I was 20, like one of 20, it never felt right. It never would have felt right.
Well,
So all those things.
it's interesting because, you know, when you look at entrepreneurship as a whole, right? So I'm gonna kind of spin the wheel back here to when you said your first job, right? Of was $18,000 a year and 40% commission. Well, you don't get much more entrepreneurial than that, right? Because number one, 18 grand, you ain't gonna live off
Right.
that. And so the commission part, that was the entrepreneurial part, right? And I fully, fully, fully believe that no matter what, like anybody that has ever successfully ran a business that I know that's been really successful have always cut their teeth in sales somewhere, right? And because I look at it this way, if you can't sell your own stuff, don't ask somebody else to sell it.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I
So.
think the interesting thing about being not just the sales piece, but being in a cohort. I mean, anyone who's seen the movie Boiler Room with Vin Diesel and Giovanni Ribisi, and like there's a great scene in there that literally happened to us, where Ben Affleck has this great cameo as the sales manager, and he basically says, like, I need you to go out and buy something. And this literally happened to us. Like, the guy who was our main district manager was like, you know, you're in the process of getting your Series 7. I need you to come back with either like a lease for an apartment. Like, I know a bunch of you guys are living with mom and dad. I need you to come back with a lease for an apartment or a car. Right. And so I was living with my parents at the time, but I came back with my at the time 1990 red Ford Mustang that at the time, and it's like I can tell I'm getting older because I say this number now and people are like, oh my God, $261 a month for my car note. And oh my God, loved it. Like, this is probably the absolute worst car of all time, the 1994 Mustang, because you could spit on the ground and that thing's spinning out. But it was gorgeous, right? And when I came back with the Mustang, this guy Matt, who's the district manager, said, "Great, now you've reason to work." So not only was it sales, not only was it a bunch of guys and one gal at the time who were like super hungry, but they gave us the reason to work. I probably picked one of the less, well, one guy had like literally had this awful like Camry that was like $100 a month. But you started out by saying we're hungry, but we're also not going to limit ourselves. So we all got something we wanted, and now it's time to work for it. And while it is not good business practice to do that now, I would say that for a personality like myself, I needed that. I need to feel like I was part of a group. I needed to have the hunger, but I also needed to learn that it wasn't about necessarily starving yourself out and living with mom and dad and like having zero expenses. It was about putting some good pressure on yourself was something that you really wanted, which for me at the time was the Mustang.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's I'm not much of a car guy, actually. I'm pretty terrible with stuff like that. I mean, I drove a 1997 Geo Tracker up until last year, for crying out loud.
I'm impressed if you just put that
Yeah.
on air. Good, but that's you know what's funny about it, Jason? I'm not really a car guy either, and I think a large part of that is just when you have kids, you live in fear of these kids dumping a Slurpee inside your car.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so mostly I'm a Highlander guy, right? Like for the last 10 years, so.
That's a that's what we have for our family vehicle, is just a Toyota Highlander. And
No
the
problems. It never
kids,
fit.
yeah, kids are just beat the hell out of that car. Holy crap, I gotta tell you
Yep. I'm right there
what.
with you. Six kids, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's, man, the lessons, I mean, the lessons that come from your family and your upbringing and all those, with such a rich history there, right? Do you feel like, that is kind of what drove you to, really solidify later in life that, look, I did all this academia stuff for most of my life, but you know what? Now I got to go out and change the world. Thank you very much for that. But now I got to go change the world. And was it influenced by that?
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, all human beings, all human brains are focused on one of two things as a motivator, either joy or pain, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that I knew the academic side of working in colleges and universities. A lot of that was just based on pride, on based on here's what my family does, based on we're educators, we're educated, we're doing these different things. But I think it was, in reality, meeting people like yourself and other people who are looking at what I was doing and saying and really making me question, like, do you think this is what you are worth? Like, forget the pay rate, the pay scale at a university, take that away and see what you're doing. And when I thought about that last job of my last job was in essence creating partnerships with Wharton School professors, which regardless of ranking will consider themselves the best business school in the world. It's certainly the biggest business school in the world. Creating an online platform based on all of their learnings and distributing those learnings to students at historically black colleges and universities for jobs in private equity, which obviously is the type of a job that can completely change a family's financial and economic dynamic for generations. And so
Absolutely.
when I looked at that responsibility and that impact compared to what I was being paid for that responsibility and impact, it like the jive wasn't jiving, right? And so I think it's really, so much of entrepreneurship, going all the way back to John Paul Getty to Carnegie, and then going up to when I started teaching, where all the kids in school, they thought to be an entrepreneur, you had to have a hoodie and wear flip-flops like Mark Zuckerberg. At the end of the day, it's all math, right? The math has to math. And it's really about understanding your worth, understanding how you distribute your worth, and then getting paid what that's worth. And even I, at this point in time, like the funny thing is, in a good year, someone with a PhD who's teaching a semester of college or of at a university, best case scenario, they're probably making $5,500, $6,000 to teach for 12 to 15 weeks. And when you think about the fact that, for a lot of us, we potentially could bring on one client for that and talk to that one client for a couple hours, the math isn't mathing.
Well,
And it's
it's like I always say, right? I'm always adamant to this. I've been saying it for years. You know, your kids can lie to you, your wife can lie to you. Math never lies.
That's correct.
It's right 24/7, no matter what.
That
Two plus two will always be four, no matter what.
is correct. That is correct. So that basic understand basic understanding that I've learned from people like yourself and other people, if you allow the market to assign a value to you, that market will always ask for a discount.
Oh, of course.
And so you have to be the one to set the value, and then add 25%.
I'm a huge believer in there's not a human alive that shouldn't be worth a couple grand an hour, right? You should be, right? And everybody has a skill. You know, I hear people say, "Well, I work for somebody else because, you know, I don't have a skill." I mean, Jesus, we were cavemen one time at one time, right? And hell, we had the skill to, you know, kill animals and make fire and do all that, right? So, you know, so many people undervalue who they are, right? I see it every day when I talk to like business owners, a lot of business owners, they undervalue what their worth actually is. And when they step into that value, it's like, holy shit, what was I thinking? Right. And I mean, that to me, I mean, hell, I just found out not too long ago that you even left on that journey you're on now. And, you know, for me, it was like, I already saw that in you like years ago. Right. So, but hey, guess what? Sometimes it takes a hot minute for us to get it ourselves, right?
Well, and I think that, if you're, it's kind of like the old adage of, the man that looks down into the aquarium and asks the fish, like, what's it like to swim in water all day? And the fish says, what's water? Right.
Right.
Once you're in a paradigm like education, you don't compare yourself to CEOs. You compare yourself to other professors.
Right.
And there are some built in. So if I'm a professor at, my alma mater, the University of Delaware, making $200,000 a year, there are certain things at Penn to make you think that, well, you make 125,000 here, but it's Penn. And so, we want you to kind of leverage the fact it's Penn, to potentially do other things. And I think that those lessons are they're built in from the environment that you're in. And until you kind of jump out of the aquarium, and kind of look around, there's no way to really know what anything is worth, because not only are you in that environment, but you're in the environment of those benefits, of those people, of those students who are coming out of school. And as long as you're making more money than, a student who just graduated, you're like, okay, I guess I'm doing okay. By kind of coming out of the aquarium a little bit and meeting new people and having conversations, and most importantly, meeting people who value what you're doing and express that value, then that's really the only way it kind of comes to a head, and you really see what you're potentially missing.
There was so many lessons just in the last 20 minutes that we've chatted here. And I want to drive some of that home in some kind of a summary, if you can, for our rock heads that are listening that didn't get
Sure.
it. So if you could, you know, what are like, in your mind, what are like three of the best go-to pieces of advice you could give to, it doesn't even have to be a business owner necessarily, but a business owner or somebody that's looking to come into business just to miss a couple arrows along the way.
Yeah, so it's interesting, 'cause I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, right before our call today. And none of these are my ideas, but I've just put them into like a funky little acronym, because being ADHD, I have a hard time remembering stuff. And this guy was a computer guy, and I was like, well, I want you just to remember Alt C. Like, you might push Alt C on a computer, which I actually don't even know what it does, but it was an acronym, so it worked.
What up?
I was talking to him about what I need to do moving forward with my Ready Speaker One stuff, and it's AltC. So the A basically stands for anchoring. Instead of, I have always been kind of shy in some cases about being like, well, I'm Dr. Dan Young, because to most people I'm just Dan, and to everyone who I went to school with, they still can't believe I'm a doctor. It's like ridiculous to them. But I need to do a better job of anchoring myself at the level that I need to be successful. So to your point, just like most people, I started out at, helping people out for $100 an hour or $250 an hour. So now I'm at the $1,000 an hour and moving up. And that's because I need to anchor myself at that point so people know that I'm serious and know that I'm worth that. So for a starting business owner, I would say anchoring is very important. The L in Alt C is leverage. Making sure that you are able to take advantage of partnerships, take advantage of other organizations or other people that already have a community, already have sponsorships, already have partnerships, and use those people for leverage to create partnerships to do great things like being on podcasts. That's basically creating leverage for you. And the T and the C basically stand for time compression. If you have the chance to speak with a mentor, if you have a chance to speak to an advocate, and you can learn from them, basically an hour lunch that can save you 5 years, and you do that 5 times a week, then you just save 25 years, right? And so that time compression piece is huge. And then obviously with something like AI, it makes time compression incredible. So now I have my general meetings that I have with mentors, but I also basically have created a line of thinking on AI where I've where I set aside an hour a week. I write down all the questions I have for the week, and then I have this one page on ChatGPT which says, I have a board of directors. That board of directors is made up of Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Elon Musk, Richard Branson, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs. Please take all of the existing writing, all the different existing knowledge about them. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. I want to know what each one of them would say, and based on what you know about me, which is a whole separate priming document, what would be the best thing I should do? So in doing that, I'm taking several geniuses, both good and bad in some ways and shapes and forms, but I'm using all of their knowledge, everything that's been written about them, compressing time to my specific needs and my specific questions. So if you can kind of, so as an entrepreneur, if you can use this Alt C method of anchoring, leverage, and time compression, and you kind of look at your days and say, how can I do this? I think you'll find that your results will start to be exponentially greater.
That's a cool acronym, Alt C. Troll Alt C. That's funny. That was awesome, man. To me, I mean, I have some of the best mentors in the world, and people that they're billionaires, and but I will tell you that in today's world, combining that feed that I get with AI, you want to talk about some dangerous stuff. It's really dangerous, and it's amazing because you can take these feeds of information in from like Don. A lot of people hear me talk about Don. He's my neighbor, and he formerly ran Oracle for Larry Ellison. And I spend 4 hours every Monday with him watching football or whatever. And it's just like he told me a couple weeks ago. I said, yeah, I really want to take SAB public, but I don't really know a lot about it, right? And his exact words were, well, why didn't you ask me a dumb shit? I might have done that a few times. So sometimes we have to know the questions to even ask the right person, and
Absolutely.
that's kind of key in that too, for sure. But anyway, yeah, there's been so many lessons instilled in this the last 20 some minutes. It's kind of crazy. If you didn't catch it, you were just sleeping in your car on the way. But how do you want people to get a hold of you, Dan? How can people reach out to you and
Sure.
connect with you?
Well, I mean, I am always interested and willing to talk to people one on one. So you can always reach me at drdanyoung79@gmail.com, or feel free to just contact me through www.kairosclass.com. Kairos Class is KairosClass.com. I'm checking that email every day as well. And in general, just, find me on LinkedIn, start a conversation. I love everything about this. I'm so excited about business moving forward. I'm so excited for Jason and Sab. I mean, one of the great things about AI is I'm looking forward to the next software thing. You have so many great podcasts, and I'm looking forward to when you just go ahead and get the transcripts of all those podcasts, put them all into AI. Basically create a bot there, and then any entrepreneur can just, pay you $19.99 a month just to ask a question to it, and it just spits out the answer based on all these podcasts, right? So that's the beauty of where we are going, but it's also the fearful part of where we are going if you don't keep up.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
Because 90% of the world of the United States probably won't have a job.
Yeah, right.
Unless they are taking the things that you're teaching them,
Yeah.
using technology and really taking it seriously. So I just appreciate you. I appreciate all the work you do, and as always,
Yeah.
looking for ways that we can continue our conversations.
Always, man. Always. It's funny because so when ChatGPT came out, I was a little resistant to it actually for a while. And then I was like, yeah, Jesus, get with the times, man, right? And so I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna test it out. Hell, I couldn't even figure out where to go to get it. I'm like Googling it, and I couldn't even figure out how to get to it, right? I had to literally ask somebody, how the hell do you get to Chat GPT? Like, Jesus, old man. But I'm a regular user now. I think
Yeah.
now they have the Google AI now.
Yep. Yeah. Now
Yeah.
you not only look up stuff, but it asks you more questions.
Yeah.
So now
Right.
it's really about how do we use AI to become more human, right? And
Yeah.
so that
Right.
you can focus on the humanity,
Yeah.
get the answers, and then be able to do the really basic Q&A, basic customer service, basic all that stuff. Like I said, you take the transcripts of all the different War Room podcasts, you upload it to ChatGPT, and now I can, as an entrepreneur, I can ask it any questions, and it'll just basically say, well, this crazy guy named Dan Young talked about some alt C
Oh,
thing.
see.
That seems to make some sense that you need to increase your anchoring, which is why you're not able to get the $10,000 per event that you're looking for. Like
Yeah.
that's where we are. It's not even that's where we're headed. That's where we are. And so that's
Oh
pretty cool.
yeah. It's definitely already there for sure. But anyway, well, hey, I like to close the show on, a little thought-provoking question, and that is, if you could have invited anybody here, dead or alive, any point in time in history, who would have you loved to have here and why them?
Yeah, I mean that from the last time I was on the show, my answer won't change. I would love to have my grandfather here. He passed away in 2005, missed the birth of all of my children, but was just, as someone who was an educator, someone who always saw the best in me and always saw the potential in me when I couldn't see it myself. I would love for not only him to see some of the things that I'm doing, but just show him the world. I mean, even the, regardless of what your political leaning is, even just to basically tell him that we had a black president, that would probably blow his friggin' mind.
Yeah,
And so, always, I think about him and I think about what he would have thought about the world. And if more was written on him, he would be in my ChatGPT board of directors too.
there you go.
So at some point in time, but he was just a man of, a man of faith, and a man of just wanting to do the best for kids in the middle school. So one of my long-term projects is trying to gather as much stuff about him as possible so that my kids can experience what I experienced when I was their age. And so
Yeah.
that's what I'm about.
That's amazing, man. Awesome. Well, hey, brother, I always appreciate getting some time to chat with you. As I always say, we all have the same 168 hours a week. Thanks for stopping by and spending 40 here and dropping some great truth bombs, and appreciate it, man.
Absolutely appreciate you, man.
All right, brother. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to War Room Moments with your host, Jason Miller. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we'll see you on the next episode.